Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First though, the head of the European Union's Executive Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has spoken of her outrage at Russia's deadliest onslaught on Kyiv since July, which also damaged the city's EU and British Council offices in the Ukrainian capital. At least 23 people, including four children, were killed and dozens more wounded in the bombardment, according to Ukrainian officials. Let's get more on all of this now. I'm joined by the BBC's Ukraine correspondent, James Waterhouse. Good morning, James, and thank you for being with us. And we heard that really strongly worded statement from Ursula von der Leyen saying they're going to summons the Russian envoy in Brussels in protest at the attack. Then the Foreign Office in London asked Russia's ambassador to the UK and the UK and the EU clearly have been desperately infuriated by these attacks, haven't they?
Well, they have, absolutely. I mean, Ursula von der Leyen said she was outraged, as you say. But if you're in Kyiv this morning, looking at your completely destroyed residential block that was struck by two ballistic missiles, outrage for some time has not been sufficient to slow Russia's invasion in any way. And I think it is because, as you say, the EU mission building was damaged, as well as the British Council building in central Kyiv. I mean, I think that's reflective of the city's air defences being overwhelmed. But I think it's also reflective of Ukraine and its European friends trying to show Donald Trump, you are pursuing these diplomatic efforts with the Kremlin, which, by the way, still says it's willing to negotiate peace. And yet it has rained down hundreds of drones once more and ballistic missiles after a period of relative, calm since that Putin-Trump summit. So I think what we're seeing is quite interesting. We're seeing Europe really trying to highlight to the US president what has happened and what continues to happen to Ukrainian cities as a complete contradiction to the peace endeavor that the White House is still trying to lead.
Yeah, and there's a very firm suggestion now that Russia is not serious about peace, and world leaders seem increasingly confident to vocalize that, James.
They do. And I think, when you look at the images we saw last week, right, with all the European leaders gathering Aaron Zelensky in the Oval Office, they are still going with a tactic of flattery. They are still trying to convince Donald Trump that they are keen on peace as well, but also that they need to, that needs to come from a position of strength against Russia. It can't come from appeasement. It can't come from swapping land, as Donald Trump has touted in the past. It has to come from stiffer measures like further sanctions from Moscow and heightened military support. And I think, these allies are putting so much effort in just keeping Donald Trump's ear, that is why we aren't really seeing any kind of developments on these ongoing peace deals. Now, we've seen heightened tariffs be brought in for India this week, a major customer of Russian oil and gas. That is significant, and it's not without consequence for the US. We are yet to see really the Russian war machine slowed in any way.
Mm-hmm. And what does it say about what's happening with that war? Because, you could see that this is a clear indication what's happened over the last 2 days, that Russia is really ready to return now to its campaign of bombing cities.
Yeah, we've seen Russian troops enter a fifth Ukrainian region on the mainland called Dnipropetrovsk. They've taken a couple of villages, and the Ukrainians have been forced to acknowledge that. It doesn't amount to much on the battlefield, but it's symbolically significant, because if you have the Kremlin saying to a US president who isn't perhaps known for his eye for detail, that they now lay claim to five Ukrainian regions, and that should be part of the negotiation, and that further weakens Kyiv's position. But as you say, if you look at other parts of the front line, in the Donetsk region, which is two-thirds occupied, we are seeing Ukrainian troops being redeployed to a string of eastern cities that are now seeing evacuations. And I've seen this pattern time and time again. You have cities gradually drained of life that become increasingly uninhabitable. And while the Russians have struggled in terms of urban warfare, in terms of how long it takes to take cities themselves, they are making gains across wider landscapes. And so the Ukrainians are trying to stop the Russians in the Donetsk region from going any further, because if these cities fell, they are surrounded by natural defending barriers like hills and rivers. If they get beyond that, then there's just wide expanse, and that would then put Ukraine in an even more vulnerable position, not least on the negotiating table.
You've got to wonder how Ukrainians feel about Donald Trump's response last night to the latest bombing, saying, "I'm not surprised, but I'm not happy." I mean, it was weak at best, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it just means nothing, right? I mean, I'm trying to sort of impose an hour-by-hour rule with Donald Trump of what he is saying. But, you know, we've seen the Ukrainians, they're manufacturing their own, their first ballistic missile, which isn't subject to the permissions needed by the US to strike targets inside Russia. Donald Trump has posted in the past, it could be interesting, you know, watch this space, you know, if Ukraine is able to target inside Russia. But the understanding we get is that Ukraine is once again fighting with one hand tied behind its back. Russia is able to rain down dozens of missiles and drones daily, and Ukraine is not allowed to strike, not even on border areas of Russia. It can't strike targets inside Russia, so it can't prevent troops gathering, it can't frustrate supply lines, and it crucially can't disrupt the launching of these missiles, which terrorise the wider country.
Mm-hmm. And the attack on Kyiv that Ursula von der Leyen was talking about, and the fact that she was so outraged at the fact that the EU offices were damaged. They weren't targeted, is that fair to say? They certainly weren't directly hit. Damaged, but not directly hit. Is that right?
Yeah. I think, you know, such as the force generated by either a ballistic missile strike or the number of drones being launched. You know, collateral damage is part and parcel. You know, I think what was more sinister about these attacks isn't just the scale or timing, but, you know, the very disturbing footage of two ballistic missiles going into a residential block. Now, you will hear Moscow say that was a military site. And yes, there are military sites across Kyiv and the surrounding region, but it just goes far beyond any kind of military dimension when you look at the kind of level of destruction and just the very way that civilians fall into harm's way.
James, we'll leave it there, but thank you as always for joining us on the programme. James Waterhouse is the BBC's Ukraine correspondent. And some news from the Middle East in the last few moments. Reuters is reporting that Israel says the body of the hostage Ilan Weiss has been recovered on Thursday. So recovered yesterday, that's the body of one of the deceased hostages in Gaza, Ilan Weiss. We'll bring you more on that news if we get it. Now, though, we'll take a quick break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.